Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we're virtual here in Alpharetta. We're not in our normal studio inside Renaissance Bank, but we're looking forward to getting back there soon. In the meantime, folks, if you're one of those folks that were really kind of unhappy about not getting a personal experience with your bank, your big mega bank, maybe, check out the folks at Renaissance. I know them personally, and some of the experiences I've had, they've been terrific for me and my clients. And I would encourage you to find your nearest Renaissance Bank office at renaissancebank.com. They've got 200 such offices across the South ready to serve you, and they've got great folks there. So check them out, renaissancebank.com. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Darlene Drew. And Darlene is a leadership expert with leadership conditioning, personal and professional development. Darlene, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm really excited to be here, John.
Well, I'm excited to have you. And but for those that don't know you, give a little overview of you and how you serve folks with your leadership consulting practice.
Thank you for that. I am the CEO, as you said, of Leadership Conditioning, Personal and Professional Development. And what I do is help leaders develop other leaders. My business is all about helping leaders grow and partnering with leaders at the C-suite level, as well as mid-level managers, to help them do what they really, in my experience and interacting with them and working with them, what they want to do is become more and more efficient and proficient in their respective positions as leaders. And that's when I come in, because a lot of times the issue is about time at the CEO level, wanting it done, but not necessarily being in a position themselves to do it. And I know what that's like, having done that for so many years in the federal sector. And then at the mid-level, leaders who are emerging in their respective careers, being hungry to start doing what they need to do, but not quite ready completely for all of the things that come with the privilege of serving others in leadership positions.
Darlene, you said something there I find very interesting, because I've talked to a lot of leadership consultants and coaches and authorities, and I've never heard anyone say in all of that, I help leaders develop other leaders. I think that's very interesting.
Well, here's where that comes from with me, is it really starts from my own experience, right?
Yeah.
As working as a leader, specifically the prior area where I worked was in a law enforcement setting, specifically in the prison system.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are a warden, wardens are very, very busy, right? And their responsibility is all about public safety. Their responsibility is all about maintaining a safe and secure facility. And so oftentimes my peers just didn't have time to develop their teams. Not that they didn't want to, but didn't have time. But I, as a formal warden and a warden at the time, they would ask, how are you doing all these training symposiums? How are you having all of this training? And the reason that I was able to do it is because it's what I love to do. So when you love to do it, you find a way to do it. And I just did. It wasn't a matter of additional work. I saw the need based on the staff, as if they started assuming these mid-level positions, and even with my executive team, really needing some additional training in the area of serving and leading others. Oftentimes, people assume the positions and they're really excited, you know, John, to be promoted into these respective positions and excited about really shining the light on their expertise. And then they deal with the realities of leading other people with real life issues taking place, conflict going on in the workplace, communication issues. And they're like, wow, what happened? I wasn't expecting this. I was expecting to be that guru exclusively working in that one area. And that's not really how it all plays out. In most instances, you have to really be ready to serve people, those direct reports. And that's where I come in.
Now, yeah, and I want to follow up on your experience as a warden, because that's fascinating to me, and I'm sure to others. But I think some folks see leadership as, hey, I learned how to lead people and tell them what to do and that kind of thing. And what you're saying is that leadership is about developing other leaders that can grow.
Absolutely. When you look at the whole spectrum, John, of leadership, right, it's great for us to be in those leadership positions, but it's even more important to develop other leaders, because if not, we're going to have problems. The people who are their followers, if they're direct reports, will have problems if an individual is not prepared for all that comes with the full spectrum of leading others, I've seen this occur time and time again, where when the issues show up, the peer-to-peer levels, or a leader that's just simply overwhelmed with all that they have the responsibilities for, when we don't develop those other leaders, then it shows up. It affects the bottom line, right? Mm-hmm. It affects people showing up for work. It shows up in absenteeism. It shows up in litigation. So now you're in the courts trying to litigate some issues because of not understanding the value and the importance of developing leaders on the front and throughout, because it's not a one-shot process at all.
Now, I've got to, I want to talk more about your leadership practice today, but I've got to get to your experience as a warden. I mean, you were with the Federal Bureau of Prisons for quite a while. Talk about your experience there. You must have started early, darling. You were precocious, right? But you were there for almost over three decades, I guess, right? So So that's great service, and you must have learned a lot of particular leadership issues through that time. Talk a little bit about your experience there and how that informs how you help people today.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I make a joke about it, John. I tell people, I started when I was like 10. and of course that's not the truth, but I started, young, starting my career and the prison system. And because of that, because I was young, not many years shortly after I was headed for college. And it was interesting because it was really not my plan. My desire was to be an attorney. And in the midst of preparing to go for law school, I had this aha moment that, Dad, I think we need more money. And I had this idea. And instead of immediately going to law school, how about I work in a prison? And I don't know if you have children, but I'm the youngest of 11 children. The youngest in my family, not have been to college or anything. And so my quest was to break that and do something that my nieces and nephews and others would do. But when I had this idea, it was, hey, Dad, instead of going to law school, I had this idea to work in a prison. And my dad asked me the infamous question that I share with people, when it was, what are you thinking? No child of mine is going to work in a prison. Forget about it. And he even got my grandmother involved. And you know how grandmothers are. But she got all the saints. And they were praying for all this child. And she has lost her mind. Fix it. Somebody fix it. what ultimately persuaded them to embrace my idea was I assured my dad that it would be for a short term. And that's really what I thought. And then when I started working in the prison setting, I saw purpose and I saw value that I could contribute in that environment. I didn't know that it would be 32 and a half years later, but that's what happened. So I started at the entry level as a correctional officer and had some ups and downs in that process. At that time when I started, it wasn't a lot of women working in a correctional setting. And so that was different. So I oftentimes experienced people asking me, why was I there? Telling me that I wouldn't make it there. And I think I had a really, really huge aha moment when I was working for a particular supervisor as a young correctional officer. And I shared with him something that people go through in their lives every day. My mother was very sick, and I told the supervisor that very thing. And he was telling me at the time when I reported for duty that I was going to have to leave because I was too early and they had changed my shift. And I was trying to get him to understand that my mom's sick. I promised my brother I was going to relieve him because this had been going on for some time. And he told me to choose between the agency and my mama. Now, imagine that. That was one of my experiences that as long as it happens, John, I've never forgotten it, but because that was an example of what I call bad leadership. And I think it changed everything for me. It was one of those moments where I decided that I hope this never happens to anyone else, and I am going to be one of those people that does better. And I stayed in the prison system, trying to make sure that I would be put to be better. And in the course of that journey, I just had the privilege of a lot of mentors. I call it sitting at the feet of giants in that industry who took the time to invest in me, to show me the way, if you will. And I wasn't always aspiring for the next level. My focus was being the best at what I was doing first. I wanted to be the best correctional officer. And I believe doing that and being open to the insight of those who had far more experience and insight than I did, ultimately it led me to becoming a warden. And you know, that's how it evolved from entry level, learning, sitting at the feet as I described it, learning from others, and even being in certain positions where, you know, working as an executive assistant for some years for CEOs, where you get an opportunity to see some of the failures of other people because you're working so closely to the CEO. And I would write things down and say, okay, remember, don't do that. That didn't work out too well. So that by the time that I said, yes, it's time, I felt ready to assume the position of warden. And that first assignment was in 2006. At the first facility in the Bureau of Prisons in Alabama.
Now, sure, I mean, there may be more women in corrections than there were, but there's still not many in leadership positions. And you, as I understand it, you were the first and only warden at the United States Penitentiary here in Atlanta. So talk about being, you know, unfortunately, you know, the only, or, you know, in terms of a woman in being in a leadership position in a sector where you just don't have a lot of women in leadership positions.
Yes, John, it's certainly true that the number of women that serve in the position of warden where I serve, there's far less representation of women in the position as there are men, although over the years from the time I started as an entry-level correctional officer up into serving as a warden, it has been an increase, but it pales in comparison to our male counterparts. My assignment as warden at the United States Penitentiary in Atlanta, the good news is from the time the facility was built in 1902. I assumed the position in 2012. So that's a lot of years, right? So the good news is that it happened. And what I hope, while I view it really as a privilege to have served as the first female warden at that facility, you know, I do absolutely believe that it, we get to a time where it's not still happening all these years. 1902, 2012, we're talking about 102 years before a woman served as the warden there. And so for me, part of my focus was to not only serve well, but also that other women coming behind me would know that someone of their gender, another woman, has done it and that they're well able to do it as well.
Great stuff here from Darlene Drew, folks. She is now has her own leadership consulting practice called Leadership Conditioning, Personal and Professional Development. So, Darlene, let's talk about the here and now. I mean, where did you get the passion that led you to, once you left the federal prison system, to start your own leadership practice?
Yeah. The passion had always been there. It's really kind of interesting because I always had that passion of learning and teaching. It goes back to really a toddler, you know, just learning and then wanting to teach other kids, although it's doubtful that I knew very much, right? But it's like if I learn something, it's like all the little kids on the block would play school, and without fail, I would be elected and wanted to be the teacher. And that's kind of been a part of me throughout my life. Everywhere I've gone, no matter what assignment, I would always find a way to learn and then want to share it with other people. So in my prior life as a warden, I did it, found a way to make sure that staff were properly trained and other people brought in to provide that training. And then when I made my transition after completing my career, I knew that this is what I would do because it's always been a passionate part of who I am, just helping to equip people to help people grow so that they can pass it on. You know, it's not just about us getting better. It's about us getting better, not only for ourselves, but for other people. So I see it both ways.
Let's talk a little bit about how you work with your clients now. One of the things you mentioned was you particularly help clients that don't feel like they have enough time to develop their leadership skills with themselves and with the folks that report to them that they lead. How do you work with clients to leverage their time, I guess, is the question.
Yeah. So how I typically do that is when I have the opportunity to first meet the client and to have that one-on-one discussion that we know is so important to hear from them what's going on with respect to their role, their business, their organization. You know, where are they? What is it that they want? And where is that pain point? What exactly is it that they feel like is being missed, that they want someone like me to come in to help them deliver those services of providing training to their teams? Is it specifically in a certain area? Is it a communication breakdown that they want focused on? Is it inner work conflict that they want focused on? You know, whatever it is, my first responsibility is to just sit with them and ask some questions and really listen, and then chart out the roadmap from there.
I guess talk about the concerns that a lot of your clients bring to you. I mean, beyond just the time issue, which is easy to understand, in this fast moving world that we live in, talk about some of the concerns that you particularly address.
Okay. Yeah, the concerns that I hear the most often is I have this person in this leadership position. I think they're a great person, but I'm hearing a lot of issues from their direct report, a lot of breakdowns in communication. I'm seeing that they are not delegating their responsibilities. They don't quite know how to do that. I see that they're having some challenges counseling other staff members. I believe in them, and I hear this often, but I don't necessarily have the time, and I'm speaking as if the person is talking to me and saying that, you know, we've got these issues with communication. We have these issues with workplace conflict. We have these issues with people delegating authority and with just simply knowing all that comes with their responsibilities as a leader. Can you help me put them on a right path so that they can effectively lead and resolve the issues within the respective department?
Folks, we're here with Darlene Drew, and Darlene is a leadership authority with her own firm, Leadership Consulting, or I'm sorry, Leadership Conditioning, I should say, personal and professional development. Darlene, it's all about results, right? So talk about some of the results that your clients have bragged about that you've helped them with. This is your time to shine here. Talk about some of the results you've helped folks with.
Thank you. Some of the results, and actually I brought a couple of things. I hope it's okay to just so that you can hear their words versus mine, and I'll paraphrase it as well so that it doesn't take up too much of your time. Mm-hmm. But some of the results have been major issues with communication. And what this particular client shared with me is, one, there was initial hesitation because oftentimes leaders at the mid-level as well as up to the C-suite CEO level are convinced that, you know, not more training. I just don't have time. I have so many other things going on. I've heard this before, until they actually get in the training and experience it. Because for me, the opportunity to train people is not just, you know, a one-stop shop. It's an experience and a journey, and teaching them not only the fundamentals, but also the complexities that evolve with leadership, you know, building the relationships. Oftentimes when people are promoted to those initial leadership positions, you're so happy, you're so excited, you know, you're believing in yourself and you're expecting other people to just automatically follow you. And that's not how it works. And what was shared with me is that the whole piece of, you know, what I have to do first is work on me, number one. What I have to do second is build relationships with other people, because irrespective of how good anybody is, you need the benefit of others to succeed, to get to the end of your journey. And this particular client said, you know, we wouldn't have believed it until we've seen it. And what we're seeing now is our leaders doing exactly that, spending more time, number one, getting to know their team, building those relationships, opening up that communication, which then puts them on the path to really work toward what organizations want most, whatever their bottom line is. And that's what was shared with me that they were able to do. I had one young leader talk to me about having some of her own issues, because with leadership, one of the biggest challenges is, quite frankly, is us. You know, we are imperfect. We're not perfect people. And this particular lady wrote to me. She was in one of the leadership trainings, and she talked about her experience in dealing with not only herself and the leader in her leadership position, but I'm going to read you her words, if you don't mind.
Sure.
She says, the sessions were a stable environment where I experienced, in this case, we were focused on leadership content, 15 valuable laws of growth. And she says, I personally learned who I am. I developed not only professionally, but personally with my family and career strategies, along with the management of difficult experiences. I have grown and I'm going to continue to grow. And I hated when this training ended. I loved it so much that I encouraged my friends who are in leadership positions to join some of Darlene's virtual training. What I didn't face before, which was my own pain that I was bringing into the workplace, I'm now a better leader of myself and others. So that's an example of one of my clients speaking about their own experience. Another client where I had the opportunity to work with the police department, their command staff, where they talked about wanting to improve in the communication issues and speaking about the tools of taking the time, again, to interact with your team, interact with officers, and find out what it is that they want and build from that. And this notion that we can do it or any leader can do it without dealing with the basic fundamentals is a really lofty and unrealistic goal.
Wow. Didn't get any better than those kind of testimonials. Great work here, folks, as we speak with Darlene Drew, who is has her own leadership consulting firm. So, Darlene, I'm awfully curious, given your expertise. We're here in the middle of a pandemic. Obviously, folks have things have changed. Work teams are scattered and working in different environments than they're used to. What are some of the particular points of advice that you give the clients that you work with to work and be an effective leader in this kind of environment?
Yeah, one of the things that I really encourage the clients to do is start to take care of yourself, right? It's so important that you take care of you and your family first things first, and doing that so that you can just regularly reach out to your staff and asking them really basic fundamental questions. How are you? What do you need from me? I have a real quick brief story, John, that I want to share with you the impact of that level of nurturing, that level of caring, you know, how far it goes. And it goes back for me when I, going back to my prior career, I was dealing with a situation a significant situation with inmates on my recreation yard, and we had it under control, but it was a lot going on, right? And so oftentimes there's this thought that those who are over us, even if you are a CEO yourself, we all have people that we have to report to in most instances. And I got a call from the regional director at that time, and he asked me one question. And that question was, what do you need from me? And I tell leaders all the time, those kinds of questions in that regard and that care for people, I call it the three C's, care, commitment, and consistency. It matters, and it goes a long, long way. People care most when they know that you care about them. And that's what I tell people every day. Make it a point, no matter how busy we all get, pause. Reach out to your staff. Tell them, talk to them. Find out what's going on with their kids, what's going on with their in their life, as opposed to, hey, I need you to get this done. That's the most important piece.
Wow. Great words, folks, here from Darlene Drew on leadership in a pandemic. This has been great. And I'm sorry, we have to let you move on and actually work with your clients, because I'd love to continue to get some good free advice here on North Fulton Business Radio. But it's been a pleasure having you. For those, though, that want to be in touch with you and like to talk to you about maybe engaging you or working with you in some way, let's tell them how they can be in touch.
Okay. Thank you for that. They can reach me on my website, which is www.johnmaxwellgroup.com/Darlene Drew. I'm also on social media platforms. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook. And if they forget, if they just Google Darlene Drew, all of that information will also come up. And if it's okay with you, I can also leave my number where they can reach me directly.
Of course.
Okay. My number is 256-283-9205.
Awesome. Darlene Drew, it's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, John. It's been my pleasure as well. It's been great.
Folks, if you need some help that involve administrative tasks, maybe you need a virtual assistant and make that move, or maybe you've got some bookkeeping issues that need to be solved, I've got an answer for you that involves picking up the phone and giving Essie Escobedo a call. Now, Essie is the chief executive angel at Office Angels, and her number is 770-442-9246. She's got a team of angels that have been virtual for 18 years, and what they do is fly in, get the job done, and fly out. So they're used to getting the work done virtually. And just give her a call or go to her website, officeangels.us, and connect with her and tell her what your problem is. And she's got the folks that have the talent and experience necessary to help you grow and leverage your business. She's awesome. I know that personally. I work with her on my businesses, and she's terrific. Just another quick reminder before we let you go this time. We're on all the major podcast platforms with this show. North Fulton Business Radio is the search term. We would love it if you would pick out your favorite podcast app, find us, and rate and review our show. It helps folks find the show. And it's not about us. It's about our guests. So it helps folks find great business leaders like Darlene that may be able to be helped by their services. So if you could do that, that would be awesome. We'd also love it if you would connect with us on social media, North Fulton BRX, and we're on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. So for my guest, Darlene Drew, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.